Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello again and welcome back. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington with the program that helps you learn American English. We come to you 7 days a week with interesting and important stories from around the world. We always present these stories by speaking a little bit slower than normal, and we use words that are easy to understand. Listen to the broadcast or podcast and then practice saying the words and sentences the way we do. It's a free and easy way to improve your American English skills. Today we have two stories for you. The first is about pollution in India and what the country's leader hopes to do about it. Then we're off to Moscow. We'll visit Technopolis. It's a technology center with big plans for the future. So if you are ready, let's listen and learn. With part one. The Indian capital of New Delhi recently passed Beijing, China, for having the world's most polluted air. Now, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi is launching a national air quality index to monitor pollution levels in 10 of the country's major cities. For details, we turn to Ashley Thompson.
Mr. Modi launched the Air Quality Index at a two-day conference that included the environment and forest ministers from all Indian states. Officials at the conference are considering measures to strengthen environmental laws. Over the next 2 years, the index will be expanded to about 66 cities with a population of more than 1 million. The new air pollution index will measure 8 pollutants. The index will use color coding to describe the air's impact on human health. That will make it easy for citizens in big cities like New Delhi, Bangalore, and Chennai to know their city's air quality. Prime Minister Modi said in launching the index that the country must change the world's opinion that India does not care about the environment or about climate change. Mr. Modi said that India has a long tradition of respecting the environment and can show the rest of the world the way in fighting climate change. He also urged Indians to reduce waste and save resources as they become more wealthy. The high levels of air pollution in Indian cities are a major concern for residents. The World Health Organization says that 13 of the world's 20 most polluted cities are in India. The worst is Delhi, the densely populated capital territory of India. Indian officials do not agree with the WHO's findings. However, experts say that the pollutants in Delhi's air in winter months can reach up to 3 times the safe limits on some days. Fumes from diesel vehicles have caused the increasingly polluted air of India's cities. Officials also blame smoke and dust from industrial and building activity. Doctors have warned that rising levels of air pollution are leading to an increased number of citizens with asthma, chronic bronchitis, and lung cancer. WHO officials call air pollution a leading cause of premature or early death in India. About 620,000 people die of pollution-related diseases every year. Anumita Roy Chaudhry leads the air pollution program at New Delhi's Center for Science and Environment. She calls the launch of the index a good first step in fighting the severe problem. She says the next step should be for city governments to release public health warnings. She also says city officials should plan what to do on days when pollution levels are unsafe. Ms. Roy Chaudhry also says the new index could make it easier for governments to demand difficult measures, such as restrictions on private vehicles. I'm Ashley Thompson.
You're listening to VOA, the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. Russian officials are urging Western companies to open offices in a technology center in Moscow. They hope the center will help the country reduce its economic dependence on energy exports by developing companies that create jobs in Russia. The center is called Technopolis. It was once a car factory. Bob Doty reports.
Igor Ischenko is the chief executive officer of Technopolis. He says foreign companies are beginning operations at the center. He adds that the center is the starting point for the development of new technical and economic solutions in Russia. Mr. Ischenko says 25 companies are operating in Technopolis now. He says that will increase to 50 by the end of the year. Officials had predicted that the center would hold 100 companies by then. Many Western countries have put economic restrictions or sanctions in place against Russia because of its actions in Ukraine. The sanctions have led several Western companies to decide not to open offices in Technopolis. Elena Belevskaya is head of public relations for Russia's government-owned holding company Composite. It makes high-technology materials.
Когда мы вели переговоры с Dow Chemical и компанией Dow AXA, мы рассчитывали на то, что мы
She says her company talked with Dow Chemical and Dow AXA. She said the company hoped the talks would lead to making products for the world auto industry, including Ford Motor Company. She says, our company is still rather new, and we cannot do everything by ourselves. In Russia, it is not easy to convince large auto companies to buy your products, she says. Working with Dow Chemical would have let us make products for the U.S. market. But, she says, the sanctions made that impossible. It is not easy for Russian companies to find the materials needed for production and for developing markets within the country. The Russian government also owns the Nanotechnology Center for Composites. It buys its supplies from European companies, and many of its customers are also foreign. Peter Molnar is the technical director for the Nanotechnology Center.
This situation is somehow developing the local market and the local production, and we hope that we can be a part of this local production. And I hope that we can show it that it is possible to produce here even high-end products and products which are quite new and innovative.
Igor Ischenko of Technopolis says there are plans to open an even larger technology center. He says his company will operate it. But he also says he is worried that Moscow's financial problems may limit the tax reductions companies are given for moving to the city. He says Moscow may not continue to provide free electric power and water to Technopolis if the city's economy continues to worsen. I'm Bob Doty.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. This is VOA, the Voice of America.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Environment and Science Report. Plants have a biological clock that tells them when to produce leaves, seeds, and other growth. A new study says understanding that clock may help scientists develop crops that can feed a growing population in an increasingly warmer world. Rob McClung is a scientist at Dartmouth College. He says scientists need to create ways to feed the nearly 10 billion people who will be living on Earth by the middle of the century. He says estimates show that there will need to be an increase in the world food supply of about 50 to 60% in the next 35 years.
And we're worried that the things that we've done to increase agricultural productivity may be becoming exhausted.
To find new ways to increase productivity, Mr. McClung examined the biological clocks of plants. He learned that different genes in plants affect the plant's clock. He published his findings in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. He says he identified a gene called Giantia in a common species of the plant called field mustard. He discovered that the speed of the gene's development can affect when the plant produces. Mr. McClung says the gene also affects how the plant deals with extreme cold and high levels of salt.
We want to be able to predict if you do this to the clock, you will do this to crop yield.
He says he hopes his research will give plant developers a molecular tool they can use to create a plant that can accept a higher level of salt or grow in a colder environment than usual.
We think that by manipulating the plant clock, we will be able to make plants that are better in tune with their environment and able to perform more effectively.
Experts say the current growth in the production of the world's major food crops, corn, rice, wheat, and soybeans, will not be enough to feed the 9.5 billion people who will be living on Earth in 2050. And that's the VOA Learning English Environment and Science Report. For more environment, science, and agriculture reports, go to our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. I'm Marcia James.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. This week in our series, Doug Johnson and Shirley Griffith discuss the presidential election of 1920 and the man who won, Warren Harding.
Radio თავისუფლება თქვენი მეგზური 24 საათის განმავლობაში ინტერნეტში. მოისმინეთ და წაიკითხეთ ჩვენი პროგრამები ნებისმიერ დროს. მისამართზე radio თავისუფლება.ge.